you, Artie.
Left a good job in the city, working for the men every night and day. And I never lost one minute of sleep, and I was worrying about the way that things might have been. Big wheels keep on turning, ooh, the primary keep on burning, and we're rolling,
rolling,
rolling, yeah,
rolling,
rolling on a river,
rolling on a river.
Said we're rolling,
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 rolling on a river,
rolling on a
Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Ed.
Good evening, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. You can find us online at gleefulpodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter at Gleeful Podcast. I'm Josh Brunell. She's Jenny B. Creative. He's Edward Giordano. We want to welcome everyone into the chat room.
Hello, late night listeners.
Yes, not only did you join us late night, but you also caught the first time change or the first schedule change, and then you're here later because we got a bit of a late start. So welcome everybody.
Yes, we truly appreciate your sticking around. I'm so sorry,
but yes, we've had some drama. Ed, how are things in Indiana?
Things are Indiana-like.
Indiana-like.
Okay, you know, I'm pissed that it's like fall already. I'm sorry, Mother Nature. I did not get the memo that we are a fall now.
But Ed, that means you're gearing up for Harvest Festival, and Sebastian will be there.
What is this, a Parks and Rec joke?
Oh, heck yeah.
I've only been to the Harvest. We actually do have a Harvest Festival. I've only been to the Harvest Festival once. It was kind of fun. I guess it wasn't fun enough. I haven't gone back, so...
Well, you have to go to the Harvest Festival because, yes, that is where little Sebastian is, and apparently he's the greatest attraction
miniature
in all
horse
of Indianapolis.
Yes, it's so
much
fun.
I don't know if little Sebastian actually exists.
Little Sebastian is based on, what is his name, Jennifer?
Einstein,
who is a mini horse in
the world's smallest miniature horse, who was birthed in Barnstead, New Hampshire.
Yes.
Has since been sold, and then we went to his birthplace, and we saw the other miniature horses. Weren't as miniature, but they're still really cute.
See,
and Josh still shook his head, and like, I don't get it.
I do. They're like horses, but small. I don't get it. But they're not really like horses. I mean, they're not like small. They're all kind of disproportionate. They just all look like child horses. And you can say, that's a full-grown horse. That's as big as he's going to get. And I'm going to go, I know. But until he can, like, put a monocle on and say, like, you know, back when I was a youngin' and tell me stories about the war, he's still going to look like a 14-year-old horse.
Okay. All of our apologies to all of our non-Parks and Recs fans.
But we are back. We're going to discuss a little bit of Glee tonight. The question that we put out to the listeners this week was, what songs would you like to hear in season 3 and why? And who would you like to sing them? So we have some voicemails and some fun stuff to listen to along those lines. And then we also have some other Glee stuff to talk about. And I know there was some discussion in the chat room about other shows that the listeners have been watching. And so that's always fun. You know, one of the shows coming up here that I wanted to ask you guys about is American Horror Story. Now, you'd kind of have to be living under a rock not to at least know what this is. But the short version is, American Horror Story is the new show by Brad Falchuk and Ryan Murphy. Ian Brennan not being involved in American Horror Story. It's coming to FX. It starts on October 5th. We know very little about it. I have a bit of a synopsis here. The synopsis being that everyone says, well, this isn't in the synopsis, but everyone says the pilot is insanity. People are raving about this pilot, though I have not seen it.
Who are people?
Who are the people?
No, who are the people raving? Is it reviewers?
Yes, reviewers. Okay. Like, this article is on Complex, where they're talking about it being crazy. I've also read, I think on TV Squad, they were going on and on about it. And then, of course, the cast of Glee. They had a special screening for the cast of Glee, and they all raved about how exciting it was. But I think that's in their contract, so I can't blame them. The show starts Dermot Mulroney and Connie Britton, as well as some other people that are a little less known. Jessica Lange, who's, of course, not lesser known at all. And Francis Conroy. And later in the season, we will be getting Zachary Quinto, for the people that like that type of thing. And, yeah, you know, the story being a husband and wife who, after the husband cheats, relocate to a creepy old house with their teenage daughter to start over. And that the show will devolve into various scary things. If you've seen the trailers, that's about all we know at this point. My question for you guys, Jen and Ed, is, are you going to watch American Horror Story? And if you are, is it because the show looks interesting? Or is it just because it's Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk? Jennifer?
Okay, yes. I will definitely be watching it because I like the sort of, you know, creepy sort of supernatural thing. From what else I've read, in addition to what you said there, I had read that it's not really about, like, a haunted house with, you know, crazy spirits and so forth. It's just more about unsettling, disturbing things happen. And that stuff fascinates me more, like, the more unexplained. So I'm really curious about that. And I think, at least I'm hoping, the previews that I've, or the, yeah, the trailer, the teasers I've seen on TV with the person in the black vinyl suit, I'm hoping that's not really actually something you see. I think it's just supposed to kind of set the tone for sort of a disturbing, unsettling element. So all of that said, I would probably watch this regardless, but based on the track record and the people involved, I will definitely be watching it.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the track record. You know, Nip Tuck had such a great start.
Glee had such a great start.
We'd been talking at some point.
My Boston.
We were talking at some point about doing an episode of Gleeful Podcast where we do talk about things like Nip Tuck and Popular.
Yeah.
Though I have not seen Popular. It's interesting, you know, the track record being what it is. American Horror Story, because everybody in the chat room is saying that I'm saying, or are commenting that I'm saying American Horror Story, which apparently is a show about Paris Hilton. If you were to do, it definitely seems out of character for what we've previously seen from Ryan Murphy, but maybe not. I mean, Ryan Murphy, if you were to try to find any uniting element between Popular, Nip Tuck, and Glee, he's definitely playing with kind of superficiality and, you know, the depths of people and such. So I'm curious how that will play into American Horror Story. Ed, will you watch the show? And if so, why?
Probably not.
No?
I don't.
You seem to like more reality based or competition based.
Well, it's not just that, which is definitely true. I don't normally like thrillers or scary things. Not that I'm afraid of them, but although I do still get nightmares from Saw 1, which is probably a problem.
But it was disturbing. I don't blame you.
It's just, I don't know. This is not my thing, I guess.
Well, as far as what the scare... Oh, I'm sorry, Ed. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's it.
As far as what the scares will be, the one write-up I've seen that gives some kind of hints mentions ghostly twins, an apparition dressed in latex S&M, an old woman who appears to be a horny maid, and a pint-sized demon garbed in child's pajamas. You can see all of these in the trailer, so this isn't much of a spoiler.
Yeah, I was going to say, this sounds very textbook creepy stuff. I mean, like,
that's
what's
kind of fascinating about it.
Such and such.
I mean, I'm starting to consider doing, like, an American Horror Story podcast, just because it's so up the Josh Brunell alley that, like, it does seem like all of these concepts are very horror movie staples. and seeing how they get played out in this show. There's also that crazy website he's doing where he's just sending the dude dressed in S&M to like sneak up on people and they film it with hidden cameras, apparently. It's just bizarre stuff. So I'm curious what people think about American Horror Story. Drop us an email or a voicemail and let us know if you will be watching it. And if so, will you be watching it because it is what it is, or just because Ryan Murphy's involved, or maybe for some other reason if you want to get creative. Also, between the last show we've recorded and this show, we have this one to talk about.
You just got glitter bombed.
Taste the rainbow, Fliat!
Brittany, what are your plans for the future?
Are you working on a time machine too?
We got the beat, we got the beat, we got the beat. Yeah!
The phenomenon returns.
Feel free to wet yourselves with excitement.
Glee, season premiere, Tuesday, September 20th.
That's, of course, the promo for the season 3 of Glee. That's promo number 2. The first one had no dialogue in it. Two things that came out of it. Number one, you just got glitter bombed, which I think is going to be Ed's new comment about everything in Victory. And feel free to wet yourself with excitement, which is one of the greatest lines ever. But it's pretty exciting. Ed, what did you think of the new promo?
I mean, it's always exciting to hear, like, to hear new music and, like, just to see everybody. You know, it's not as epic as the promo for season 2, which the first episode lived up to it. The first episode, I do recall thinking the first episode lived up to what we expected, but at this moment, I'm not as excited as I was for the season 3 opener as I was for the season 2 opener.
I agree. That's a very good point. We also got Gliotch from the promo. So that's just genius. Jennifer, what did you think of the promo?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I think I'm still sort of, you know, reeling from the sting of unfulfilled expectations for the season finale. You know, it's like, you know, Quinn saying, oh, I'm not going to quit Glee because, you know, that would ruin my plans for New York. And, like, there was just so many things that we were really
looking
forward to.
You know what I'm excited about?
What?
Quinn's new hair.
Oh, God, she's so gorgeous. God.
It's purple? Is that right? In the promo?
I thought it was pinkish, but
yeah,
okay.
I thought it was more pinkish, too. But I love the length of it. Like, seriously, I would take a scissors to my hair right now. I could look half as good as that.
Not to be spoilerific.
But
Cordova Street did tweet a photo of him with Corey Monteith today. I don't know what that means. That just, they might just be hanging out, but they were together. They were just together today.
Well, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Maybe that's a new ship.
They were just hanging. Whoa.
That'd be cute.
That shipping conversation continued over email and just continued to creep me out.
Good.
I had an idea for this episode tonight to kind of read and talk about Glee fan fiction. And it didn't really turn out into something that was like episode worthy, but people did send me a lot of Glee fan fiction. And one thing I've learned about Glee fan fiction this week is that people are obsessed with Klain. They want to write about Klain. They want to talk about Klain. They want to do, like, people are obsessed with Klain.
Well, I mean, I think as we probably alluded to last week, it was like one of the pure relationships, like one of the relationships that are actually based on genuine intentions and genuine desires, as opposed to like, how will this benefit me? And I, you know, it was also, you know, new love for Kurt. And there was so many good positive things about it. It was hard not to be hopeful and want to see so many more good things about it.
It's a good point. I mean, it's one of the purer relationships, if not the purest relationship on the show. And so I could see the way that Bert would inspire a lot of yeah, no one's gonna write fan fiction about
Carol and
Bert and Carol, though I'm sure someone has. But instead we have this topic to talk about.
Some people call me the space cowboy.
Oh, I love Steve Miller Band.
Some call me the gangster of love. Some people
People call me Maurice. Cause I speak of the pompousness of love. People talk about me, baby. Say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. Well, don't you worry, baby, don't worry. Cause I'm right here, right here, right here, right here at home. Cause I'm a picker.
Steve Miller lived in San Luis Obispo, where I went to college, and so he would do a show in the gym like once a year. Steve Miller Band would come in. It was like the only band that ever played my college for years. He would do a show, and the thing is when Steve Miller Band plays for a bunch of college kids, they really only want to hear this song, and they really only want to hear it when he says, "I'm a toker."
Okay,
so well, it was just
not even my favorite song. My favorite song is "Rockin' Me."
"Rockin' Me" is great. I would say "Jungle Love" is the best Steve Miller Band song.
So, quick aside about Steve Miller Band: the first two CDs I ever received in my entire life have pretty much determined everything that I feel about music from then on out. My first two CDs were Steve Miller Band's Greatest Hits and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time, received on the same day, and those were my first two CDs, and I could truly trace every single trend in music that I've enjoyed back to those CDs.
Wow. Okay, I'm dying to know. Did you pick these CDs, or did somebody randomly...
Was it BMG?
No, did somebody gift you these saying, okay, these are the two CDs that, like, these will shape your world? Like, did somebody give them to you, or did you pick them?
Ed? Did we lose Ed?
Lost Ed.
Apparently we lost Ed. Well,
okay, a little aside though about Steve Miller, and I do agree, some great, great music. But even when I was in college and he played, it was a little dated then. So I can't even imagine like how many years later when he playing your college.
When he did like "Abracadabra." Yeah. I wanna reach out and grab you. Nobody played my college though. Like the big concert, the year that I was in college, or one of the years I was in college, the big concert, the only concert that played that year was Sugar Ray and Orgy.
Yikes.
And mind you, like, they both had one song. It was not a real thing.
You truly are a decade behind, because you would have loved, in my college, I got to see Meatloaf live. Like, seriously, I was like from here to our sofa.
That's awesome.
And I paid a lot less than we did last year for him. Squeeze. I wish I could name a bunch of them. Pearl Jam. But, I mean,
no one knew who they were.
Nobody knew who they were.
Well, the reason we were listening to the Joker... Ed, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. Oh, yeah, okay. I'm back. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was
saying, I asked for Britney Spears and the other CD.
The person,
it was just a random gift.
They said, okay, you want Britney Spears? Okay, here's a counterbalance.
You know, I'm glad that those were the CDs I got, because...
That's fantastic.
It was a well balanced thing that truly did shape my opinion of music.
Her first CD, I will have to admit, was extremely fun. I remember buying that for a friend of mine's, you know, nephew or niece or something. I forget. somebody younger.
I guess my college Purdue is pretty lucky, because I've gotten like Gaga and Pearl Jam was here recently.
Okay, I'm sorry.
They didn't play his college though. Did Gaga play
Gaga
your college?
Gaga played Purdue?
Yeah, she literally literally wow. Where I go to class, she performed a block from there in Purdue's campus.
Nice.
That's crazy talk.
You know, my cousin went there, and I still have never been to the campus.
You should visit.
My bad. He's in somewhere outside of Bloomington now.
Sorry. Well, the reason we were listening to The Joker was because we asked the listeners what their favorite or what their ideas were for season three songs they'd like to be performed in season three, given the new characters we have and what little we know about the plots that are coming up. And that particular one was a suggestion from listener Stephanie.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Hey, Josh, Jen, and Ed. This is listener Stephanie. I'm a big fan of the People podcast, and, I've been excited. Well, first off, as far as Samuel Larson goes, I think, Josh, you'll be so surprised when he does start his character on Glee. I think he'll throw you off, and you probably love him. I know it. Like, he's just going to surprise you. And I can't wait till he does, so you can know that you're... Like, he proved you wrong. Even though I love you, but he's going to prove you wrong, because he's awesome. But as far as season 3 songs go, I think it'll be awesome if Samuel sang "I'm a Joker" to introduce his character, or Puck sang "Lay Me Down" by the Dirty Heads. It's perfect. And another thing, I wanted Tina and Brittany to sing "The New Girl in Town" from Hairspray, the musical. And, like, I know it changes to another group of singers, but it would be awesome if it changes to, like, Santana and Mercedes. And they start singing the song, too. But all of them are singing about Lindsay's character, possibly. And at the end, like, maybe she gets hit by a bus or something. So her 2 episodes will be over. But, yeah, that's my prediction and wish. But, yeah, I love all you guys. I'm a big fan. So, yeah, bye.
Thank you very much, listener Stephanie. We had lots of good voicemails, and this was a good voicemail-y topic for suggestions. You know, it's interesting to think about, you know, when we... I think I asked this question on, like, our second episode. And we didn't know that much about the show, so the suggestions we got were kind of across the board. People just trying to say, like, this is my favorite song. I think they should do it on Glee. I think it would be great. But now we know enough about the characters, and we know enough about season 3, or at least, you know, the general ballpark of season 3, that that it's really changed kind of, you know, what we want to hear and what we want to see from people. So Stephanie had the Joker. Here is listener Lauren from Nashua.
Hi, Josh, Jen, and Ed. This is Lauren from Nashua, New Hampshire. New listener from near where Jen grew up, apparently. I'm calling, first of all, to say thank you. I've recently discovered your podcast, and it is happily filling the gap between the end of the amazing summer shows and the beginning of all my new awesome fall shows. Like Jen, I am a gorger of media and television, and I've been doing that with you guys the last couple of weeks, which is fun. On the subject of songs I'd like to see, I would love for Rachel Berry to sing "I Don't Want to Show Off" from the musical The Drowsy Chaperone, because it's all about pretending you're modest but being completely a show-off, which is totally Rachel Berry. I would also love to see Mike Chang sing "I Can't Stand Still" from this musical Footloose, because we've been led to believe that Harry can sing in some interviews, and I'd like to hear that. It would be a great introduction to the more Meg Chang that we've been promised for this season. And I would also love to see Finn sing "You and I Both" by Jason Mraz, because I'm not always the biggest fan of his voice. I think it's good, but I think that song would really suit it, and it would be a great kind of song for him and Rachel to sing. So that's it. I love you guys, and thank you for an awesome, awesome podcast. Bye.
Those are some pretty cool suggestions from Lauren in Nashua.
Yeah, that's awesome. And just one aside. Not only is that close to where I grew up, it's close to where I went to college, and I worked at the Pheasant Lane Mall or the Pheasant Run. I forget which it was called. I worked in the art store at the mall there. Yay.
Well, she'd mentioned "You and I Both." I thought it would be kind of fun to listen to some of the songs that people were suggesting and trying to put our brains in that place. And I just happen to have this one because I really like the first Mraz album. Here is a bit of "You and I Both." Put Finn in your brain.
Nice.
What do we think?
Oh, but it oftentimes those words get tangled up in lines, and the bright light turns to night. Oh, until the dawn it brings a little bird to sing about the magic that was you and me. 'Cause you and I both loved what you and I spoke of, and others only read of, others only dream of the love, or the love it I love. Love it ever.
I wonder if, like, Finn's such a straight-ahead singer. I don't know if he has quite the soul for something like this, but it would be fun. I mean, when I was trying to think of songs I'd like to hear, a lot of the songs that I would come up with, I would think, you know, nobody on the show really has soul. they're all kind of good pop singers, good balladeers, you know. But like, do any of them? Could any of them do something like really funky? I mean, Mercedes, but I don't know. What do you think, Jennifer?
I think there's more depth potential there. I mean, maybe it's not been explored in that particular way, but I think there's definitely a lot of potential there.
Hmm. There's definitely potential. It'd be fun to see somebody try.
And honestly, anytime I hear Jason Mraz, though, I think of Sam. So
yeah, it'd be hard.
Not the new Sam, the old Sam.
The new Sam?
Samuel.
Oh, Samuel. You think we'll just call him Samuel on the show? His character name will be Samuel.
Maybe they'll try to just reinsert him, like, hey, in this season, we're just going to replace, like in Bewitched, you know, they replaced Aaron. No, that won't work.
Well, let's we'll listen to one more listener, and then I'm going to put the question to Jen and Ed. But this listener did not give their name, but they had two great suggestions, and here they are.
Oh, hi. I think it'd be great if Blaine sang Wonderful, the Adam Ant song, Wonderful. I think that'd be great. Or maybe Elvis Costello's Allison. I think Blaine or Darren Criss would sound great. Thanks. Bye-bye.
I was trying to think of a good warbler song as well, and this would be a killer warbler song with Blaine on vocals. This is Allison by Elvis Costello.
Oh, it's so funny to be seeing you after so long, girl. And with the way you look, I understand that you were not impressed. But I heard you let that little friend of mine off your party dress. I'm not gonna get too sentimental like those other stick of Valentines, 'cause I don't know if you are loving somebody. I only know it isn't mine.
So, Ed, put the question to you, and I know you think about this all the time. Because
you write Glee in your head all the time, right?
Oh, constantly.
You're far better than I.
Tell me about, what do you think, Ed? Give me a song you'd like to hear in season 3.
Well, I've been thinking about this a lot. So, some of the songs I was thinking about was Rachel on Apologize, something to do with Finn probably, and just violins and bongo drum arrangement.
So like, and the One Republic song.
Yeah, but and her like I just think about the song and then I can hear Rachel singing it in my head. I'm like, did this happen already? That's one of my ideas.
I had one as well that I was thinking they must have already done that. What else do you have, Ed?
And then another one I wanted to do, or was thinking, you know, because I have control of these things. I would love for Quinn to do, just with an acoustic guitar, like not her playing, but that's the arrangement of No Doubt's Bathwater.
Interesting. Oh. That'd be an interesting one. I like the way you're going, though, like taking songs that we know and doing them in interesting arrangements. I mean, it's always more interesting than when Glee just recreates, you know.
Of course, and then I also want someone to do I Who Have Nothing, because I love that song since Jordan Sparks did it. Of course, I loved it again with Haley Reinhardt
so
did it.
So amazing.
Of course.
Haley won my heart with that one.
The violins kill me every time. But my shining moment in this discussion, an Elvis episode with someone doing Can't Help Falling in Love, done by the traditional way, probably. Have someone do it like the UB40 way at the beginning of the episode in a happy way, and then have someone close the episode with a very stripped down, sad version of it.
Oh, wow. that's so beautifully melancholy. I love it.
Yeah.
This is why Glee needs to hire.
That's so good.
Here's
All
a
right,
bit of
can we get co-writers on this?
Here's a bit of Apologize by One Republic that Ed mentioned earlier.
I need you like a heart needs a beat. It's not for me. Yeah. I loved you with the fire red. And I was turning blue. And you say sorry like the angel. Heaven let me think was you. But I'm afraid it's too late.
If Ryan Tedder can't hit that falsetto consistently, which he can't do consistently, they might as well have someone who can, i.e. Rachel Berry. I just hear her in her head voice doing it. Like, I just hear it happening. So
she is a machine. I was rewatching the episode last night that was running. So it was that when they were doing the auditions for the solo.
Yes, it was Funeral.
It was Funeral, but they had to do the auditions for the solo, and oh, she's so good.
Oh, yeah.
She's a machine.
We also had listener Wesley on Facebook had also dropped in an Elvis suggestion. He had Are You Lonesome Tonight performed by Karofsky. Just kind of a wacky, that's kind of an interesting one. By far... the most suggested song, people constantly suggesting Seasons of Love from Rent.
It's like, I feel like that song is so obvious that they can't ever do it. The buildup for the song needs to be such a joke. Like that it's like, oh, of course it's the song we would do.
Well, I mean, they're going to graduate.
Yeah,
and I think it's almost a foregone conclusion that they would perform this in the graduation, to the point where if and when they do, I think we'll all be kind of like, oh, okay.
No, I hope not. Because I agree. I would love to hear all these voices together singing that. And you know what? I don't care if it's predictable. I don't care if it's, you know... I don't know. What's the other word I'm trying to think of? Cliched?
A little bit.
I don't care. I would love to hear their voices together doing this.
Well, to give credit where credit's due, it came from listener Molly and listener Sapien, and who actually might be the same person for all I know, and at least one other listener who I'm forgetting, so I apologize. But here's a bit of Seasons of Love from Rent.
How about love?
Well, I was going to ask Jennifer, but she just ducked away. So we will go to another listener. Of course, it's not a topic without.
Good morning, Josh, Jen, and Ed. This is Typo, also known as Siobhan. So
Hello.
You wanted to know what songs people should sing and why. So I put together a list of standards and oldies that I thought would be great. Obviously too much for a single episode, but whatever. So, starting with The Lovely Claim, I thought Kurt should sing Oh Boy by the Crickets, Buddy Holly, because he deserves to finally sing something happy. And A Little Monkeys for Blame, Daydream Believer. I'm not sure why, it just seems something
that's a cool
that
idea.
Such a fun
now,
song.
Now, Santana, it was way too easy to give her I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross. A little trite. So... Fever by Peggy Lee. That cigar-induced rasp that she has would be perfect for this song. Now, speaking of too easy, I didn't want to give Mercedes '60s, the Supremes, or another Aretha number. Totally overdone. So I finally settled on some Sinatra. Bad, bad Leroy Brown. She's supposed to be getting a football player boyfriend, so this seems like a good way for her to convince him that Glee can be cool and fun. Okay.
Do the crisis even fire?
My initial thought for Puck was Bewitched by Sinatra, because it's my favorite Sinatra song, and I'd love to hear him sing it. But then I saw Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry, and having him play the guitar for this would be perfect. And it's my favorite Chuck Berry number. Now, Artie obviously has to sing some old school Michael Jackson, Rockin' Robin, and Mike and Britt can dance along. Speaking of Mike and Britt, we have Moondance by Van the Man, because Mike deserves to sing, so he should at least sing about dancing. And for Brittany, a mashup of The Twist and Twist Again by Chubby Checkers. Let's see. Tina never gets to sing, so I want her to sing as much as possible. So a big Beatles mashup. I didn't know what songs to put in there, but I thought maybe Paperback Writer, Eleanor Rigby, Penny Lane, these songs don't go together, but she deserves to sing as much as possible and finally get to the end of a song. Another duet for Quinn and Rachel, Breaking Up is Hard to Do. Goodbye, Finn.
Yes, typo, we know your opinion.
Mr. Shu, because Emma deserves to be serenaded, Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash. And I just realized I forgot to give Finn a song, and I got it to be a Damien one. But since Damien is now officially filming, I thought a great Irish oldie, Mary Mac. Look it up, great 60s.
Well, thank you very much for typo. She had the suggestion of Moondance. She had a lot of great suggestions there, but
so good.
Doing something like Moondance, I don't know. I mean, that is one of my favorite songs. It would be interesting to see something that's a bit more jazzy,
kind of swing
on the show. Yeah, here's a bit of Moondance by Van Morrison.
One of my favorite songs. Needs the cover of October skies. Yet all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. Yet all the night's magic seem to whisper and hush. And all the soft moonlight seems to shine in your blush. Can I with you, my love? Can I just make some more romance with you, my love? Will I wanna make love to you tonight?
Jennifer, did you have a song you'd like to see in season 3 of Glee?
Actually, I do have a couple, but okay. But first of all, Typo A totally put me to shame because you clearly gave this far more thought than I did. But when you were talking about Tina singing the Beatles, first thing that came to mind was Till There Was You. And I think that would be incredible. I think she could just give it the perfect amount of elegance and reverence and sweetness. Oh, I think it would be beautiful.
Here's a bit of Till There Was You by the Beatles. On a hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all. Till there was you. There were birds in the sky, but I never saw them winging. No, I never saw them at all. Till there was you. Then there was music and wonderful roses. They tell me in sweet, fragrant meadows of dawn and you, there was love. That, of course, being from The Music Man as well.
Yes.
Did you have anything else, Jennifer?
Oh, yes. I have two songs, and both of them are a little bit more on the somber side. Okay, the first one is Dire Straits, Romeo and Juliet.
Interesting.
Extremely topical because we were talking about this the other night. Well, Josh and I were. And there's part of me that, as much as I said last week, that I have so much hope for Will and Emma, I still kind of believe that they are two people that, you know, as much as I want them to be together, they could still be fundamentally not right to be together. And one of the things I love about the Dire Straits song, Romeo and Juliet, is that it highlights, you know, that, you know, regardless of, you know, how much you love somebody and how much you care for that person and how much all of these great things, you know, say you should be together, sometimes the timing isn't right. So, to me, that's a very Will and Emma song. So, I don't know if you're queuing that one up.
I have it, but what else did you have?
The other one, and this is even more melancholy, is, and just because I'm going to be like a, because I love this artist, and I don't think enough people know about him, but Elliott Smith, Pizzola, and it's such a beautifully tragic song. It's very short, and it's essentially a poem, and it's one of those things that it's such a pretty melody. Every now and then it shows up in music, in movies, but it's such a soft, simple melody, but it's basically a poem to music. But I kind of imagine Santana singing this to Britney. And one of the verses, and it's just, you know, six lines, I'll do it really quickly, but one of the verses is, I'm not what's missing from your life now. I could never be the puzzle pieces. They say that God makes problems just to see what you can stand before you do as the devil pleases and give up the thing you love. That verse right there just like breaks my heart. And it's one of those things that if I were to surmise any relationship in this show, it would be Britney and Santana. That,
wow.
You know, like, again, no matter what you think you should have or what you feel you need, it may not work.
Well,
I'm sorry.
That's Pizzola from Elliott Smith. You also mentioned,
check it out. It's a beautiful, beautiful song.
You also mentioned Romeo and Juliet by the Dire Straits. So we can go ahead and we'll take a little bit of listen to that, because I don't think I have the other one. Here's Romeo and Juliet by the Dire Straits.
He nearly gave me a heart attack.
Really, it's by Mark Knopfler.
Yes, such a fantastic musician.
My boyfriend's back. You shouldn't come around here singing up at people like that. What you gonna do about it? Juliet, the dice was loaded from the start, and I bet, and you exploded into my heart, and I forget the movie song. When you gonna realize it was just that the time was wrong?
Now, Ed, is there a character that you're starving to hear a song from? Is there?
Well, I sent you a YouTube link in our, and this is partially inspired by Typo's Beatle rant with Tina, and I was like, oh, I didn't think about Tina's songs, and then like instantly it came to me what song I would want her to do, and that would be At 17 by Janice Ian.
Oh, this is a classic. Here's a bit of Janice Ian doing At 17.
In high school, girls with clear skin smiles who married young and then retired. The Valentines I never knew, the Friday night charades of youth were spent on one more beautiful. At 17, I learned the truth. And those of us with ravaged faces, lacking in the social graces, desperately remained at home, inventing lovers on the phone, who called to say, come dance with me. It isn't all it seems. It's 17.
I'm impressed, Ed. That doesn't sound like your style at all.
I loved this song.
This song's so awesome.
What are you talking about?
It's fantastic.
That is a great choice, Ed. Yeah, and definitely for a Tina song. Tina Typo said it best. Tina needs to finish a song this season.
She does, and she's so good at this. Like when you think of like when she did Smile and she did Two Colors, it's very much. And I hate this. I don't want to hate this term, but it's just, I know it's overused. But like it's very much in her wheelhouse.
Yeah, totally.
She's so good at it. But I mean, like, she's comfortable not finishing a song, apparently.
Well, I had a couple,
that would be nice.
I had a couple ideas myself. One that a couple of the listeners also suggested. We know that Shelby Corcoran's coming back this season. And I want to hear a giant Shelby Rachel diva off to ABBA's Winner Takes It All. It's my favorite ABBA song. And it is so ready-made for a giant Shelby Rachel Devoff. Here's a bit of Winner Takes It All.
I don't want to talk about things we've gone through, though it's hurting me. Now it's history. I played all my cards, and that's what you've done too. Nothing more to say, no more ace to play. The winner takes it all, the loser standing small beside the victory.
Now, I actually have a couple more that I'm going to mention, but Sapien just had the greatest idea ever. There's a song from Avenue Q that is actually in this show. Like, Jennifer, you've seen Avenue Q. Ed, do you know Avenue Q, the play?
Of course not.
Okay.
Of course not.
It's with Muppets. Yeah. And the majority, like 99...
Oh, no. Go back. It's with Dirty Muppets.
Yeah, it's filthy. Every song in the show is filthy, except for one song, which is gorgeous. And Sapien had said this would be a great Tina song in the chat room just now. This is called There's a Fine, Fine Line. This is performed by Stephanie DiBurzio on this record, who's one of my favorite singers. Here's a bit of There's a Fine, Fine Line.
Between reality and pretend, and you never know till you reach the top if it was worth the uphill climb. There's a fine, fine line between love and a waste of time. There's a fine, fine line between a fairy tale and a lie. And there's a fine, fine line between your wonderful and goodbye. I guess if someone doesn't love you back, it isn't such a crime, but there's a fine, fine line between love and a waste of your time. And I don't have the time.
So I was trying to think of, like, when I was thinking of songs I want to hear, you know, there's 1,000 songs that you want to hear on the show, you know, songs you love for whatever reason. I was trying to think of the ones that really, like, I could fit into a character. And I had this idea of a duet between Finn and Jesse. Now, we don't know if Jonathan Groff is coming back in season 3, but we didn't know if he was coming back in season 2, and he did.
But we can hope.
And I can hope. And we can hope. So I had this idea of a Jonathan Groff, Corey Monteith duet to Hall & Oates' She's Gone. Here's a bit
Oh my God!
Here's a bit of She's Gone.
High on consolation. Everybody's trying to tell me what is right for me. Yeah. I need a drink and a quick decision. Now it's up to me. Ooh, what will be here? She's gone.
She's gone.
Oh, I. Oh, I.
she's gone.
She's gone.
Oh, I. Oh, I. I pay the devil to replace her.
She's gone.
And she's gone. Oh, I. What went wrong?
Love that song. That's such a good song.
It is. Seriously. That was, you know, there was their peak. They were great.
They were great at that. A couple other random ones I had come up with. There's a song. Okay. I guess I could just play it because I have them all, right? Because they're all my...
Because of course you do. Yes. You're probably talking musical theater.
I was trying to think of a good Quinn song, right? Season 3. We got Quinn. Aww. She's got purple hair now. And
she's got purple hair, and she obviously was up to something in New York that we don't know about.
She's not punk rock, but she's definitely ticked off.
She's edgy. Know?
So where do you find the line? You go something obvious. Pretenders. Like, oh, the Pretenders. It's not a bad one.
Mystery Achiever. Holy crap. That would That's be amazing. That's a good one. Check it out. Mystery
You could
Achiever.
Also do, the obvious one would be like, I like rock and roll, some kind of like Joan Jett, you know, whatever. There's this song that I love by Metric called Combat Baby.
Nice.
This is a Canadian band. He's a huge band in Canada. In the U.S., nobody's heard of him. This
huge,
is Combat.
Huge. I don't know. I know Metric. Huge. I feel like it's a big word.
Wow.
It is Canada.
Canada.
Hey, be nuts.
Oh, Canada.
Here's Combat Baby by Metric.
This is good. This would be in her range.
Yeah, I think it could be kind of fun. There's currently a debate in the chat room if Ed's joke about Canada was racist.
All right, people.
I love Canadians. Like many of my best friends.
We have
Canadians.
To be a lot less sensitive here.
So. No, I think they're being funny. So I was trying to think.
I'm still pushing for Mystery Achiever, though.
People had some good ideas for giant group numbers. And I think the one that jumped out at me the most was listener Susan on the Facebook page had an idea for a big group number at the end of an episode to be done with Mr. Blue Sky by ELO.
Wow.
Here's a bit of Mr. Blue Sky. You've heard it in every commercial. And Ed, I thought, like, when I thought of giant group numbers, I thought of you. Did you have any ideas for crazy giant group numbers in season 3?
See, I don't know. I feel like group numbers, like, they need to be, like, infectious and amazing. I did think about Good Life, One Republic, but I already said One Republic earlier, so.
Jennifer's pointing to me. She's
and
she's,
I can't think of the name of the band.
This is what she wrote on this piece of paper. She wrote, Band in Robes with Fun Website Game. What she's thinking of is the Polyphonic Spree.
Love them. And you have to go to their website. And it's this crazy little website where you have to, like, gently escort these little people across this crazy little world. But this beautiful music plays. Sorry, it's been a rough night.
Well,
can you have any
polyphonic spree? I have some, but they're all like 9 minutes long.
Can you play like a sample?
I'll see what I can come up with. Okay. We had a couple listeners who came up with just a couple random other ones. Dr. Dante Pereira on Twitter had Moves Like Jagger for Finn. I actually have not heard this song. Ed, is this a song I should hear?
I have tweeted about the song, actually, because lyrically, I sometimes feel like it's a mess, but the melody is so, like, from the gods that I can see past any mistake.
And that's like, impressive.
It's like as Tayo Cruz said, the melody is what the girl looks like and the lyrics are the personality.
Interesting.
So yeah, she's pretty smoking.
Let's see. Abster Montana.
I'm still processing that.
Had Passionate Kisses performed by Klain. That's by Lucinda Williams, but I think Mary Chapin Carpenter had a bigger hit with it. Let's see. Animad 74 had Couldn't Care Less by the Cardigans, which is just one of my favorite bands ever. Listener Amanda had said if they do another Halloween episode, they should just do a Little Shop of Horrors episode. Which would be kind of hilarious to see
amazing.
Some of that stuff.
That's a really great musical.
Listener Catherine had Love is a Battlefield for Rachel. That's a good one. But I think one more before we go. I wanted to throw out, I don't know how to pronounce this. I think it's Titbe. She's on Twitter. TITT_BE, right? Anyway, they had this song for Will. I think Jennifer's going to know this one. I don't know if you'll know this one, Ed. But she said Will should sing this song. Will and Emma should sing this song, I believe was the suggestion.
I got a little change in my pocket going jingling.
You don't know this?
Oh, I know it.
Telephone, baby. I give you a ring, but each time we talk, I get the same old thing. Always no hooky, no dizzy until I get a wedding ring. My honey, my baby, don't put my love upon no shelf. She said, don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself.
I think it'd just be funny to see the Georgia Satellites perform sometime in the new millennium.
Oh, and it would be hysterical for Emma to. She's always been very insecure about her non-sexuality, so I think to have like a song that's so definitive, like, you know what, hey. I think that would be kind of funny.
Ed, do you know this song by the Georgia Satellites?
It seems familiar, but I can't place it, so I guess not really.
It's probably not regular culture. Yeah.
Oh, certainly. It's probably just one of those that you know, like, through, you know, osmosis.
I'm sure it's been in many movies and TVs.
Like, I always go to this one diner. I don't know if anyone knows about this, because, like, I always talk about it, Green River Soda. I love Green River Soda, but no one seems to know about it. And I used to go to this one diner, and they used to, like, they had, like, a jukebox, and they played random music, and I feel like I've heard it there. So I'm like, that's amazing. Like, oh, Green River. But no, I talk about it to other people, and they're like, what's that? I'm like, I feel like,
so frustrating.
Well, here's the polyphonic spree. This is Light and Day that Jennifer was trying to think of earlier.
And if you can find their website, they have this crazy little, very simple, relaxing game.
Light and
it's
day
pretty.
Is more than you'll say. Cause all my feelings are more than I can let by or not. It's more than you've got. Just follow the day. Follow the day and reach for the sun. Follow the day and reach for the sun.
Well, Ed, would you like to thank any iTunes reviewers before we go?
Yes, I would.
as it loads, because I was in my music. I was in, okay, one second. Awkward transition.
No, it's all good. Everybody's enjoying the music.
Okay.
Hey, if they've stuck around this long, they're in it. So don't worry.
Oh yeah, they're in it to win
and
it.
And we appreciate it.
Okay, we have two reviews this week. Just XJ and 61, or 61 twos. That's 61 T E E W S twos. Thank you for the reviews. Regardless,
Boise Squid says we should YouTube givers up, up, up. So maybe we'll do that.
And Boise Squid, I have not forgotten about your squid and tennis sneakers. So I can't get to it right away. Oh, and by the way, I actually just cut and paste that panda in a snorkel mask from somebody else. So I hope you guys liked it. We referenced the t-shirt people, but it was fun, and yes, we hope we can come up with some other concoctions.
Absolutely. We should find a... You
somewhere
can find that on
future.
Zazzle, actually. You can buy that t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
For the Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Ed, I'm Josh. Oh, wait, no. You can find us online at gleefulpodcast.com. You can go to the Twitter page at twitter.com/gleefulpodcast. You can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. And there's a Facebook fan page, Gleeful Podcast. Just search for that.
Yeah.
Whatever. For the Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Ed, I'm Josh.
I'm Jen, and... thank you all for sticking around so late. We appreciate it.
Good night, Ed.
Good night.
Oh, when in doubt, listen to K-pop.
K-pop.
Spent somebody they last wish. It's been a couple months that I've been single, so you can call me Artie Claus minus the ho-ho. Get it? I'll probably visit with Katrina here. And Don Shore do a lot more than FEMA did. Yeah, can't forget about me, stupid. Everywhere I go, I'ma have my own theme music.
Oh, every time I close my eyes,
what you see, bro?
I see my name.
Uh-huh.
A difference in the every night. Oh, you are well, better prepare when I'm a billionaire.
Theater Gleek 77 asked for a shout out, as well as, let's see, this is Ella's friend Molly, who loves Gleek.
And I don't think we ever gave Floyd's mom proper props for, thank you for telling Brad that, you know, he was fortunate enough to be next to us.
Yes, that's right.
I'm so embarrassed by all of that. It was so incredible. Thank you.
I saw Brad.
Hearts to Floyd's mom.
I saw Brad in the movie theater, and I walked over to Jennifer. I stepped between Brad and Jennifer because they were standing about 10 feet apart, and I put my back to Brad, and I went to Jennifer, and I said, Jennifer, look behind me.
So, okay, can you explain to me why you didn't talk to him?
It was crazy.
He was there with a big group of people. Like, not a big group. There were, like, five of them.
But you host the number one Glee podcast online. You have the authority to speak to him.
I know, but the thing is, he doesn't speak. And yes. Josh didn't, but I heard him speak. And it was good. It wasn't like when I heard Penn and Teller... I actually saw Teller, the silent one. I saw him speak, and that was like seriously like glass shattering everywhere. I'm like, illusion destroyed. But now Brad's awesome, and he's so adorable.
Political etiquette. Toss a couple million in the air just for the heck of it. But keep the vibes, warnings, tins, and bins completely separate. Yeah, I'll be in a whole new tax bracket. We in recession, but let me take a crack at it.
Can't
I'll probably take
cat.
Whatever's left and just split it up. So everybody that I love can have a couple bucks.
And now, 30 seconds of Big Brother with Ed. Go.
Oh, you're so funny.
Go, Ed.
I know, right? Was it okay on tonight's episode? Wasn't it awkward when Shelly came into the Big Brother? Into the jury? Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. And I don't. Okay, Jeff holds a grudge, like for real. Like everyone else seemed to move on, but Jeff is upset. And still, Team Jorchel. And that's, I guess, like, go Jorchel. Even though. I do want Khalid to stay over Portia, but I understand why it happened, how it did. There you go.
This has been 30 Seconds of Big Brother with Ed.
Woo!
Freaking